We welcome back to the microphone our American correspondent, Michelle Winner, who was recently in Barcelona, and that was a beautiful song. It's a magnificent Spanish city of grace and style, and I reckon that the Passage de Gracia, which runs through the centre of town, probably outstrips the Champs-Élysées, which has sort of gone down market a bit. There's car yards and all sorts of stuff along there now. It really is a stylish boulevard, and so I've really enjoyed being over there. Anyway, Michelle was in Barcelona checking out the food and beverage scene and also the Catalan culture. Winner.
Hi, Graham. Thank you for having me.
Oh, that's always a pleasure. You're there as part of the team, even though you might be half a world away. So it's great to have you on the line. Now, you've just come back from a visit to one of my favourite cities, to Barcelona, which obviously is in Spain, or in Catalonia, actually. So what was the highlight of your visit? You went there to sort of check out the food and the beverage scene, and as well as to see the sights, obviously.
I did. I fell in love with the city. It's one of the few I've ever been to that I was truly sad to leave.
Yeah, it is a great city. I've been there three or four times now, and initially on business, and then I went with my wife, and we had a holiday prior to a conference that she had to attend in Madrid. So we started in Barcelona, drove down around the coast, and ultimately got up to Madrid. But, gee, we saw a lot of fantastic places on the way, but I don't think we saw a city as stylish or as graceful as Barcelona. You know, I reckon that main drag, the Passage de Gracia, I think it's one of the world's great, I was going to say boulevards, possibly not a boulevard, but one of the world's great streets. It certainly, in my mind, leaves the Champs-Élysées for dead, because it's now full of car yards and McDonald's and all that. And yet, that one in Spain, in Barcelona, it's a beautiful, stylish street. The women stride down there like they own the place. And it's got, of course, some historic buildings, some wonderful architecture. How did you find it?
Oh, we kind of stumble upon it. Sometimes we just throw the map away. And we're returning from just a walk around, and this beautiful boulevard opened up in front of us. And we were standing in front of that mansion that Gaudi had designed. And
yeah.
Yes. It's just a fantastic street.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's where I first saw the Nespresso designer store was there. You know, it was right next to Prada and I think something on the other side that was equally high-end. And there was this Nespresso store. It sort of took me, I caught my breath a little bit because I didn't quite realise how they were going to market that coffee pod. But now Clooney's their sort of super high-flying spokesperson, isn't he?
Yes, he's huge in Spain. So
I bet
you don't see much of him over in America, but the advertising campaign is huge there, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the highlight for you from Barcelona? Apart from having to stay up late to eat dinner at the time they like to eat it.
Well, there's a lot, but I really think the food and wine, that's just so fantastic. There are just a couple of items that I discovered that I had just adored there. Of course,
yeah.
I've had, I'd say the word bastardized renditions of them, but not from the source. And I just loved the food. They have churros. So you have that with a little bit of coffee or some
hot chocolate
churros.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. I love those.
And you might want to have them with some drinking chocolate. And I didn't realize, I mean, of course I should have, but the Spaniards brought back cocoa seeds and learned how to make the Mayan drinking chocolate when they came to the Americas.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And didn't Columbus set out from Barcelona on his voyage of discovery? There's a big statue to him down on the docks there.
You know, I believe so, but I didn't get down there to check it out.
Oh, well, that's another part of the world that's quite interesting in Barcelona. So so you got the choice. A lot of people I noticed were having that for breakfast.
Yes, it's pretty traditional there, and they're delicious. They really are. A little crunchy, a little sugar, a little dough.
Yeah.
I put cinnamon on mine.
Yeah, I'm sure you could easily get into a diabetic coma from having too much of that.
I'm afraid so. And then I like the paella. Even though it's from Valencia originally, it's just a perfect lunch for two to get a pan of that and have some nice cava with it.
And where did you find that? Did you believe you found an authentic paella? A lot of it's pre-made, which we found disappointing.
Yes, that is the big tourist scam. You'll be walking around, especially around some of the tourist sites, and you'll see the sandwich board out front. Oh, come on in for our paella. But what they're doing is they're not using saffron to color the rice. They're dumping in coloring. So you're absolutely correct. Now, I have a great little book here, but so you might hear the page turn, but I can name you two fantastic paella places if you'd
Yeah,
like.
absolutely.
Okay, I'm gonna just look in my book. It's a great book that I found at Dear Barcelona. They're guides and they're wonderful.
Okay.
Let me just get to that. There's a lady that apparently she is a master. So here it is, and I'm gonna spell the restaurant. It's Cherif, F as in Frank,
Yeah.
and her name is Nini. And it
Okay.
says, Nini's handiwork is from another world, and you'll be overcome with emotion when you try her lobster paella.
Okay. Oh, that sounds good. I didn't have lobster. We had prawn and something
Yes,
else.
yes.
Chicken, I think, maybe in one of them. But they have to be a little bit crusty on the bottom. Did you find that? That's the genuine one, apparently.
Yes, because I believe they cook them outside on an
Yeah.
open flame.
Yeah, and a huge big almost like a cement mixer full of rice and using shovels to move it around.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. So, but the interesting thing is, if you'd gone to lunch for lunch to have paella, you wouldn't have been able to get that probably until after 2 o'clock, because they don't eat lunch at the time. They don't start work when we do. They don't eat lunch when we do. They certainly don't finish when we do, and they don't have dinner when we do.
No, I talked to a true Catalan because the people that are from Barcelona are Catalan.
Yeah.
And he said that they eat their larger meal at 2 p.m. That's lunch.
Yeah.
And of course, the other tapas are perfect for dinner there. So that's what we're not thinking of in America, that we're going to have another large meal at 8 or 9, 10 o'clock and never be able to sleep.
Yeah. No, that is true. Anthony Bourdain was on television here. I don't know when the show was made, but he was in Spain, and he was just blown away by the tapas that he was having. And he said, unlike anything that might be called a tapas bar in America or in other parts of the world, the Spanish tapas is just another mark above all of that again. And so it was interesting to hear a chef like him, with the experience he has and the global traveling that he does, just talk about how authentic it was and how good it tasted. And so he went away with a lot of new ideas about what tapas actually is. Did you go to the markets or any of those inner city places where they make it right in front of you?
I went to the Leprosaria market in Las Ramblas,
Yes.
and they had all kinds of stalls, but I didn't see it made there. I went to a restaurant, and they made it. The chef was right there making it. Yes, it was a restaurant.
Yeah.
It was a really great spot too.
Oh, there's a lot of that idea of having lots of small portions, I think, is probably a very healthy way to eat. But so now you washed all that down with a bit of the cava, did you?
I did. Wow, quite a bit of cava. Yes, that was another reason I went there. I hadn't really explored the world of cava, and it's for those of you that haven't tried it yet, it's a champagne method, which means you're going to have two fermentations. The second one being in the bottle, and you have to turn the bottle and things like that for it to be ready. And they're really delightful. And the best part of it is most of the grapes and the wineries for cava are in the foothills that surround Barcelona. So that's really ground zero for cava.
Yes, and of course this cava is not to be confused with the one that they produce in Fiji, which involves a chewed up root, chewed up and spat out root, and tastes like mud and will make you numb from the neck down. Now this is a more of a champagne type product, and you're right, Michelle, it is a lovely it's a lovely drink. And I guess the Italians have the Prosecco, which they would call, you know, their own invention of sparkling, and here's mm-hmm. what the Spaniards do. So did you go to any particular are they caves? What do they call the places where they make it?
Well, actually, the word cava is cave. That's right. But we went to the Freixenet. They have several wineries, and Segura Viuda is one, and then there's a Freixenet sort of headquarters that you can take a tour and learn all about it. It's very well presented. It's not boring. It's really beautiful. Oh, well, so you can get a tour. It's just great.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great. So did you travel outside Barcelona or pretty much stayed in the greater city there?
We pretty much stayed in the city, just taking the time to go out and see the Freixenet and visit another winery in Priorat. There was a beautiful winery, and unfortunately we don't get any of this wine in America or probably
no,
in Australia.
We wouldn't get it here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so where did you stay? Any thoughts on where you stayed?
I stayed in three properties because, you know, as a writer and a reporter, I need to experience them and have some great recommendations for you. I did like the Hilton Barcelona.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, that
diagonal
avenue that
yep.
sort of bisects.
Yeah.
Well, it's located there. Very functional rooms. I like the Hilton Diagonal Mar, which was further away from the city core, but down near the beach. And Kurt, my husband, liked it because he took a walk along the beach there, which is about two blocks away. It's real easy to get to.
Yeah.
And we discovered a topless sunbathing beach there.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. The other hotel I'll be real quick about is a really neat, ultra-modern, right in the main area of the city, and it's called Hotel Calderon, and it is an NH property. It's really neat little place. That's quite a find as well.
Okay, well, there's some good ideas there, and you've mentioned the restaurants and the sorts of food to look out for. We've actually run out of time, and so maybe we'll talk at another point about some of the other things that you found in Barcelona, but great to have you reporting in, Michelle, and we'll speak again shortly.
Well, thank you very much. Next week I will be in Trieste, Italy.
Oh.
And I'll have some news, some breaking news. Yeah. So that will be a fun one when we next connect.
I look forward to that, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.